I'm Wendy Garrett, and this is Conscious Living. You're listening to Empower Radio. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are, having a wonderful time enjoying all of this incredible energy of 2012 all across the board. We just had a huge eclipse that was absolutely extraordinary. If you had a chance to see it, I'm sure wherever you are, it was really an amazing moment, because seeing that thing, even I watched the live viewing of it on the internet, and it was so amazing as it just went into alignment. And a lot of people took fabulous pictures. So if you haven't had a chance, check that out too. And just a little hidden note in that, there is also some information saying that those kinds of the images are actually trigger points for us. And so what it does is there's something inside that is coded or programmed to awaken, to do something different as a result of seeing that type of image. Now, everybody has different beliefs about that. For me, I've experienced it. So for me, that is real. But I wanted to share that because not everybody gets the same access to information. And since I scour the internet copiously, nonstop, I tend to find more information out there that I feel needs a helpful outlet. And I try to pass on what I think is maybe a little bit more positive than some of the other stuff that's going on around right now. I wanted to visit with our guest because he has had an extraordinary experience, and he's able to articulate it in a wonderful, caring, and loving way. And he's written a book. You might not have, unless you speak Spanish or you are familiar with some of the stuff that he has already done and seen maybe a YouTube video, most of his information is available in Spanish. And if you might have run across it, it's called I Live 4 Days in the Fourth Dimension. And he's what we would call a contactee. And since he was 7 years old, I'll let him tell his story. But first, the setup. Enrique Villanueva is a hypnotherapist. His background, he has a certified master practitioner level of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, also practitioner of EFT, that's emotional freedom technique. And if you need help remembering or doing anything else, he might be able to assist you in that department. Enrique, I appreciate your time. Thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm glad to be here in your program. Thanks a lot.
Now, the one thing I saw when I saw the video that I stumbled across when I was doing my YouTube stuff, I'd had some experiences that were incredible, and didn't know what direction to turn. I usually go inside and say, okay, now point me in the right direction. Give me something that will help me to integrate this. And the experience was so profound that when I knew, my guides told me to, you know, be quiet and don't be afraid. And I had so many other paranormal encounters and stuff. I'm not afraid. Okay. So when this happened, the immediate thing, this contact thing, was absolutely enough with the tiny awareness that this was totally foreign, something out of my ability to fathom. And it was real. And I felt myself go rigid, just from head to toe in fright. And at that moment, I thought, oh, darn it, that's nuts. Because I could feel myself shut down as a result. And the guides just laughed and they said, we told you needed to work on your fear. And that point, I realized it's in our programming as an assistant, as an aid, as a safety, that we have that. And that's one of the things we have to get around. In your stuff, you talked about that. And that's where I made the connection. So that's why I thought, okay, this guy knows exactly what it is like to have this and how to get through it. And from this, would you please explain and share how things started for you, I guess, with the first contact point in 1977?
Okay, at the time I was 7 years old, and I wasn't particularly interested in the UFO phenomena. I was 7 years old and playing with my friends on the block. Suddenly we saw this light making the night look like the day. I remember the first time I saw something weird in the sky or pay attention to something weird. Just months after that, we have a big sighting in the same location. We saw the all those running towards the big avenue, and we, the kids, ran behind. And then we saw this sheet that looks like two plates moving like in a very slow motion in the sky, and then making sudden moves to the side. And it was obviously not an airplane or a helicopter. And the grown-ups were talking about a UFO at the moment. That was the first time I think I heard the word. In Spanish, it's OVNI, Objeto Volador No Identificado, an unidentified flying object. So next day, I remember my father brought all the newspapers, and in the cover of the newspapers were the pictures and the news about it. So there was a sighting, big sighting over Lima, the capital of Peru, and people were excited on what was that, an invasion from UFOs, something about that. And my father was always excited about the paranormal stuff. He was part of the Gnostics. He also joined the Mason and the Rosicrucian Order at some point. And he was always exploring also religion.
Absolutely.
So I grew up in that environment, let's say, and by the time I was around 12, I started having this spontaneous astral projection. And because I wasn't sure what was going on with me, I thought it was part of my teenage years, maybe the changes I was going to go through. So I asked my dad, and he says, no, that's an astral projection, and some people practice for years to experience that. For you, it's spontaneous, like it happened to me, because it happened to him also when he was a student of medicine many years before. And so he took me to the books and materials that I need to read in order to understand that phenomenon. And from there, I started studying a little bit more about yoga, meditation, stuff like that. By the time I was around 17, I felt like I was a little different than my friends in school and in the streets. I was like too focused on the other side of reality. Mm-hmm. And I remember meditating at the roof of my house in Peru, and in my meditation trying to establish contact with some intelligence that could answer these questions I have about reality. And sometimes at night I have the sightings very high above me, some lights moving slow. But then nothing else happened till a year after, when I started having these dreams where this, in my dream, it was the phone ringing. And nobody answered the phone. So I stand up, went to the phone, answered, and this voice told me, we are going to visit you soon. We are coming from another planet, and we like to establish a communication with you. And the weird thing is, when I was listening, this voice changes, like the voice of a male, then a female, then a kid. And I wonder, what is this? How is this possible? And then when I hang up, I realized I was still in my bed, sleeping, and the phone was still ringing. So I woke up again, now in my physical body, and ran towards the phone. And when I handled the auricular, I realized that nobody was there. It was just the ringing. And something like that. And later on, I was like invited to go to the desert, Chilca Desert. That's like 60 kilometers south of the capital, Lima. And there was going to be a meeting with this group, the Rama group. The Ramas are people that were having the contact in the 70s. And I knew about them through my father, who was always interested in this phenomena. But I didn't reach the point where I went looking for them. At this point, when they announced that they were going to have a meeting, a contact in the desert, I said to myself, I have to participate. I received the invitation through my dream, so I have to be there. And I went with my father against the advice of the Ramas, because they told us, because we didn't participate with them, we cannot be part of that experience. So we went anyways, and we lost our way in the desert trying to find them. Then we came back to Lima, disappointed and sad because we couldn't find the place for the experience. And just entering Lima, we noticed attribute that to the terrorism at the time. There were attacks on different cities in my country. It was the 80s. And sometimes the terrorists cut the lines of electricity. So we had like no power for hours sometimes. So we thought that was the case at that moment. When we went back home, it was still in darkness, and I went to my bed, and I noticed that for some weird reason, I was listening things that I knew were at the distance. I listened to those things like they were very close to my ears. Like I was somehow underwater, or it felt like I was underwater, and vibrations and sounds that I knew from the distance, like a bird flying maybe 100 meters away. I was listening like it was inside my room. And I was amazed by that weird experience, but I was so sad that I didn't focus that much. So I went to sleep. And that night, I had the experience. This being came to visit me. That was an astral experience. And they gave me so many details about our solar system and the bases they have in different moons. And it was so much information that I didn't feel okay just holding it to myself, because sharing with my family or my close friends was crazy at the moment. They were going to think that I was going nuts. So I went looking for the Rama group, this contact, these people that were having the contact since the 70s. I went to them and explained the experience I had, and they told me that the information is being shared with me was the same they were receiving since the 70s. So we had this thing in common, and they accept me as part of the group, and I start practicing with them. About 6 months later, I was ready to go to the desert with them, and we had our first sighting. We were 15 people, and I had the first sighting in groups, right? It was the first time I saw the ships with witnesses around me, and I was amazed. The feeling was like this was an invitation, and now they are here. This is beyond my imagination. That was like feeling a gap closer to us. Like this guy says that they are our brothers and sisters from the space, and they travel all these huge distances just to come and let us know that we are not alone. That was an amazing feeling. And I got more and more involved with the group. I study all the archives they have of communications with these beings, and all the, there were archives with symbols, because there is a symbolic language through which they give more information. It's like condensed packages of information in some symbol.
So I started, is it like the crop circles? Can I add just a minute? The crop circles, people say those are coded messages. Is it like that?
Yeah, the symbols, from my view, are like doors that you can open to huge amounts of information and meaning. It's not like in our language we have a word that is pointing to this concept.
Yeah.
No, their symbols are like doors. When you focus your attention on those in meditation, you can access that information. And sometimes that information has some relation with our experience here, and sometimes it just points to another aspect of reality, other dimension, where we exist also, but we don't have experience of it normally. And I get in touch with those archives and study and meditate, and I establish let's say I was hungry for more knowledge. When you start in Rama, group of contact, you start not by yourself, but sometimes they get a few new ones in one single group, and they start training that group. We were about 15 people at the time, kids between 16 and 20-something. And I remember that they were expecting that from this small group, it was going to some of us, or maybe one of us, was going to be an antenna. Antenna is the person that has a telepathic channel already open.
Yes.
So these guys pick the one that has that channel already open, and they start giving information through him, through automatic writing.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knew who was the antenna in this little group. That was 1990. That was the year 1990, yeah. And I was ready to try. I was the antenna. So I started meditating at night at 11. When everybody was sleeping in my house, I went to the living room and just got paper and pen and just relaxed and opened my mind to whatever thoughts or images they were sending. Nothing happened the first night. I just felt some weird energy in my upper head. And then the next night, I tried again. I felt the presence of someone in the room. I couldn't see anything. And the third night, that was the last try I was going to make. I said, if it didn't happen three times, then that's it. So the third night, I was again with my paper, pen, same time. I opened my mind and waited. And then I felt the energy running through my spine, like something weird coming from up above my head and then running down. And then I felt the presence of someone in the room again. But it was very strong, very powerful. So I turned my face. I couldn't see anything. And I closed my eyes again, and then I felt like someone was approaching me from the back. That was the feeling, a very strong feeling. And then I saw in my mind's eye, I saw the hands approaching the back of my head. And then I felt energy running from those hands into my head, like a buzzing, with a buzzing sound, like
yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when I felt the third buzzing sound, there was an explosion of light inside my head, and when I opened my eyes, I saw this guy standing in the other side of the table I was in, or to the side. So the guy was in the other side of the table, standing, wearing this, how do you call this, tunica? Tunic? I don't know if that's a word.
Yeah, tunic's a good word, yeah.
And even though it was a tunic, it was so delicate, the fabric, and maybe like silk, mm-hmm. that it really, you could see the contour of the body. And it was a very strong body. He was a male. His shoulders were very round, like a gymnastic person. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he wore long hair close to his shoulders. His features, his face was like maybe... like a Mongol, like a Chinese, but with big eyes, not mm-hmm. dark eyes, not those guys that you see in the movies in Hollywood right now, small, big heads, no, nothing like that. This guy was perfectly proportioned, like amazingly proportioned. He was like a model maybe. And I was amazed by his beauty. He was like a mix, his face, the expression of his face between male and female maybe. And but his body was perfectly male in form.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in shock. I was absolutely afraid. I was only expecting a communication through the mind. I was expecting a thought or an image in my mind, not this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if running was the appropriate thing to do at the moment or just staying there. And I remember grabbing the pen in my hand, and then I thought, if I don't say anything, I'm going to collapse. My heart was very, very rapidly pumping. And I remember saying, are you going to dictate something? Are you going to say something? And then I felt this energy coming from him. I felt it because I couldn't see it. There was something coming from him and covering me completely. And I felt that energy as love, coming from a brother. That was a fraternal love. And my brain immediately translated that feeling into little brother. And I felt safe in his presence. Suddenly all that fear was banished and I just felt relaxed and happy. But I couldn't say anything. It was like he took control over the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he started feeling, and through those feelings, talking to me. And every feeling was immediately translated by my brain into my own language and meanings. And I understood everything he said. And at some point, I realized I could answer the same way with feeling. Somehow, he attuned me in his frequency, and I was able to communicate to him to the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that I was not the antenna of the group. That's why he came down to let me know that my effort was appreciated, and they really needed us to work as a group, as a team, and open ourselves from our group. There was one that was ready to receive the message. And I was supposed to go back to my group, explain what happened, and one of those guys was going to predispose himself to have the experience, and he will be the antenna of the group. And he says that every time I was exposing myself to these kind of experiences in representation of my community and my planet, they will be ready to give experience or create a scenario for the context so we could have more and more information. And I was grateful for that. Even though I had thousands of questions before the experience, at the moment it happened, I was blank. It was like gone. I was just ready to receive. And I couldn't express any of the questions I had. When the guy said goodbye, I saw there was some light around his body. The whole time he appeared,
mm-hmm.
there was like a contour of light around his body. That was not an aura. That was something else, like a pulsating white light around his body. When he said goodbye, this light started like shining a little bit more, and then the whole image of his body vanished, like collapsed on the air. Like those old TVs, when you turn them on and in the screen you can see everything goes into a spot of light, and then
yes.
it vanishes.
Yes.
Something like that.
Wow.
In thin air. And
that's a good way to put that.
At that moment, I recovered my fear, and I was afraid again, and I was laughing, and I was all the emotions together.
Uh-huh. I tell you, I mm-hmm. love hearing the way that you expressed that when you said, when somebody is open to be a representative and hoping to get the ability to share whatever contact with others, then there is on the other side an effort to come forth and reciprocate and respond to that from that emotion and that awareness, rather than somebody who says, well, I want this information so I can keep it and I can know what's going on. It's more that word share that is incredibly important in from what I've learned from these experiences. What with that, knowing that there was another person who was going to be the antenna. And again, if you've just begun to listen to this, we're talking with Enrique Villanueva, and he is a contactee who has a tremendous story to tell and helpful information if you've experienced anything like this or you are curious about what others have gone through. Hearing firsthand somebody who's been able to document this and really get a lot of information that they can use to tell others how this might work for them. Enrique is a great resource. So what did that, is that how you decided to go ahead and try to become more fluent and fluid in the fourth dimension?
Not actually. At the moment, I was, yes, I was ready to represent my group, but at the same time, I was curious about the contact phenomenon, because in Rama, there were some that had the opportunity to meet these guys in person, to go into the ships, to travel to some bases in our solar system. And I was curious if that possibility was there for me. I wanted to experience that. I knew it was a huge responsibility. They always point at that. You had the experience is a representation of your humankind. So
mm-hmm.
You got to be aware of that. And let me tell you, it's not easy at all to confront that experience. We want it, but when it happened, all those emotions, those fears, those defense mechanisms we have in us just come up, and it's difficult to control. That's why they have to take control over the whole scenario of the content. And
that, yeah, that's real. When I had mine, and it was the images, again, it's a telepathic, that's the best word for it, but it's not like we see on TV or we hear in media. It's a different kind of almost an automatic knowing, a communion of souls, of energies, a mingling where you have this ability to just become whatever that information is and understand it all at the same time. It's incredible. And this is what I want to continue talking about with Enrique. We do need to take a break. But what happens when this changes you and you realize that maybe you aren't prepared for contact, as it were? So we'll continue asking questions and hearing his response. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio.
20 years ago, the Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law. The act was a huge step forward for the 50 million people in this country living with a disability, and the culmination of years of effort by those who marched and spoke up and refused to be treated as second-class citizens. It helped renew the promise that here in America, we're defined not by our limitations, but by our potential. As we celebrate the 20th anniversary of this historic legislation, it's important to remember that we're still fulfilling that promise. We're still working to secure the rights guaranteed by the ADA, the right to live and work without limits, the right to equal justice under the law, and the right of every person in this country to reach for the American dream. We've come a long way since 1990, and I'm committed to making even more progress in the years ahead. Visit disability.gov to see how you can help.
Brought to you by the American Association of People with Disabilities and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Roosie. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for, really? My name is Ruth Roosie. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome to Empower Radio. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. We're continuing our interview with Enrique Villanueva, and his story is just fascinating. For one, because it's been going on for quite some time, and it didn't just happen overnight. It isn't just a response to, you know, the media, the 2012 thing. This is something that's a part of his life and that he's been able to integrate and take it to higher and higher levels. And that I wanted you to share too. But when you realized that that this was going to be a little bit of responsibility, and you were hoping to be able to travel to, as you say, distant moons, you continue on that line, because that's also very interesting.
Oh yes, about the fourth dimension of consciousness, these beings mentioned that we are ready to jump into the next level. That our consciousness is going to expand as a species. We are going to get to the next level in evolution, and they are assisting in the process. But as I tell you, at the moment I was 18 years old, and I was not searching for that higher dimension. I was just into the experience of sighting the ships and maybe going into one of them and have the experience. I was close to a teenager, and I think I let myself go into the hangar for the experience. And when I was 20, I had already enough experiences, and I had another physical encounter with these beings when they did a healing on my body, and then they invited me to go into the ship. It was the year 91. But the thing is, when they invite me to have experience, I felt this fear again, and I realized I was not ready to do it, and I couldn't. Even though I saw the ship approaching, and my house, it was 3 a.m. in the morning, and I said to the guy, you know what, I cannot do it. I thought I was ready. I filled my mouth with words that are not real. I cannot do it. And the guy just smiled, and he, no, at that point, he didn't went away. I just lost consciousness. And then the thing is, from that moment on, I felt like I didn't have more of those encounters, the physical encounters or even the close sightings were more and more distant. And I felt like somehow they let me go. And I was very disappointed. Like, they paid so much attention to me in the beginning for my training, and now they are just letting me go. And I realized that I was not ready to continue with the experience if there was nothing else. I mean, I was sharing with people and friends and family about what happened. But that was it. So I said, I'm in the university. Maybe I'm wasting my future thinking that I can be searching for this spiritual meaning or weird encounters in the desert, and I should concentrate on my career. So I remember I decided to quit all search for meaning and spirituality. All the things I did in the past were gone. I was going to focus on my academics and a bachelor's degree, and that was it. And at that point, my decision was absolutely honest. I really wanted to quit. And months passed by, and it was 1992, I think. And at that point, I felt like something was approaching me. And that was completely different than the sightings or the experience with them. It was not a telepathic communication or anything like that. It was just the feeling of something surrounding me and getting closer to my physical being. And I remember being in the bus, walking in the streets, and having this strong sensation. And as the days passed by, the sensation was like the whole universe was falling onto me. And it was weird. I thought that maybe I was going crazy after all the experiences lived in the years before. Maybe something cracked in my mind. I don't know. And then I remember I was getting ready for some tests in the university, and one afternoon, reading this material, this philosophy's book, I start feeling this, how can I call this? It's like somehow I knew the information in the book, and I could anticipate to the pages that were coming after. And the whole chapter was already in my mind, and I was curious, did I read this book before, or what's going on? And then I checked some other books in the shelf, and I realized that even the books I already knew, my comprehension of it was different. Like, something expanded in my mind, and I was ready to catch the meaning, the deeper meanings in those texts. And I thought that maybe it was a perception. It wasn't a real thing. Maybe it's just something in me that is perceiving in a weird way. Maybe I'm stressed because of the exams. I was thinking that at the moment. But then I just realized that this thing was bigger. I started stretching my hands, trying to touch this thing that was getting closer and closer to me, and I couldn't touch anything. And at some point, I just opened up and said, whatever happens, let it happen. And then I was marking the book with this pencil, and then suddenly, it was not a pencil, it was a pen. And then I realized the essence of the pen. I could see the idea that gave form to this pen in my hand. And the idea was so luminous, was so enlightened, that it was intelligent in itself. And it was so big, like the first finger making traces on the sand to this pen that you can attach to a computer and download information. It was like the whole circle of the evolution of the pen. And I felt so tiny in front of that idea that I was ready to worship the pen or create a whole religion around the experience. And I realized that that was not only the pen. The pen was, in a way, an angel, a complete light, and the book was also the same. And everything surrounding me was the expression of that light. And I thought at the moment that I was going crazy. So I went to the bathroom, washed my face, and I'm trying to clear my mind, but the thing continues. And at some point, I realized that I couldn't stop it. So I tried to relax and breathe. And I remember I was practicing the pranayama breathing exercise that I learned years ago in the Hatha Yoga. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I saw this explosion of light at the base of my spine.
Yes.
And this light started to move as a snake, like going
the Kundalini.
Up.
Yes, the Kundalini.
And as this thing was going up, I felt the expansion of different levels of light in my body, and those lights were expanding as spheres that went beyond my physical being. And the sensation of those energies was even stronger than my sensation of the physical body. Like I was transpolating my experience to a reality of energy. And this thing was going up and up, and when it went to the solar plexus, my expectation was what is going to happen when it reached my heart, but it didn't. It went all the way up, jumping. Let's say it didn't touch my heart. It went directly into my throat. And then an explosion of sound. That was sound and blue color. And it was so strong that I honestly thought that my eardrums were destroyed in the process. I covered my ears with my hands, thinking that there was blood in there, because it was impossible that my ears could tolerate such a sound. And I remember that was the first moment I got my mind in two, because a part of me said, this is what you were looking for. All these years searching for meaning, and now you get this. Now you are crazy. Where are you going to run now? And
welcome home.
Yeah, and I was absolutely afraid. My fear was beyond anything I experienced before, and I was really ready to jump from the third floor I was in. But then another part of my mind started talking. It was like a higher mind, something completely different. And it says, well, you reached this level, and you are already crazy. Why not continuing? And I said, yeah, I'm already here, and I cannot escape this. So I let go of my hands and of the ears, looking at my hands, searching for blood. There was no blood. And then I realized this must be a psychic perception. Even though it felt so powerful, it's a psychic thing. It's not a physical sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued doing the pranayama, and then the light that was very intense, electric blue, it becomes like light blue. And then somehow this higher mind, this consciousness could separate the sounds. Like I was aware finally that these sounds were the thoughts of the whole humankind at the same time. And I could separate one from the other. Everything was in order now. And for me, that was the end of Babel. Babel? Babel? How do you call it? Babylon? The tower in Babylon?
Yes.
No, you know the myth, right? About the fusion of languages and all this stuff in the midst. And when you reach that level and you open this chakra, this vortex of energy in your throat, that's the end of confusion. You realize that you can understand everything in that light. And I realized that the languages of the planet came from the way we receive light from the cosmos. At some point, thousands of years ago, the planet was closer to the sun. And the way we receive light was different. And because of that, telepathy was absolutely natural for us. Mm-hmm. But then something happened and they moved the orbit of the planet away from the sun. Only 5 days, but that was enough to break the patterns of light and create the different languages we have in the planet. And I knew all those things without effort, suddenly. It was just part of me. I knew that was part of my experience. And I continued breathing, and I saw this light going up into my crown. And there was a huge opening, like an explosion. I said like 10,000 suns at the same time, white suns exploding. And I expand with that explosion. And suddenly I was everywhere in the universe. But it's not like I was in the universe. I was the universe. I was everything. I was in every planet, in every cloud, in every living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back home. The feeling. I am back home at last. After all these thousands of experiences in this tiny bubble, mm-hmm. I am back home.
Yes.
And it was happiness, and it was everything for me. And it was the same, a second, as a million years, it was just the same. I was back and happy. And
the only way I can describe something like that is to say, if you understand the definition in English of the word bliss, it only represents a tiny infinitesimal fraction of what this feeling is like. Bliss is just the beginning. It's just so extraordinary to have that feeling.
Yeah, you have to wonder about those things because you cannot explain rationally. It's something so big that there's nothing else to say. You don't have enough words to express that. So,
well, and the thing is, for me, it was something that was given to me, that I was told, count to two. And I was, these guides were working with me to explain how this worked. And they, you know, they told me, you're going home. And I'm thinking, okay, where? And occasionally they'll reconnect and tell me, you know, you're going home. But the way they gave it to me was to have me count the two. And my mind is going, because I'm channeling at that time and channeling this information through a hypnotherapist who's repeating what I'm being told. So it's a really interesting arrangement. But I'm thinking, oh, this is right. Yeah, I'm skeptical. Yeah, nothing can happen. The minute the word one was given to me, I was completely not this physical thing. I was out and beyond and everything that you can imagine. And, you know, it felt like butter. You just, all of a sudden, you're immersed into this incredible place of being that there are no words for. And when they said two, I knew, oh my gosh, I knew I had to come back because it felt so wonderful. If I didn't come back at that moment, then I would have a break, you know, because I would shift from what I know as my body to this other being, this other way of expression that was so much greater and beyond. Yeah. Oh man. But you have to come back to do the work here.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. and I noticed that. I didn't know if it passed a minute or 1,000 years, but I noticed I was still linked to this space and time where I was this Enrique, and I had mm-hmm. this physical body. It was waiting for me in a way. So I fall into that physical existence again. I literally feel like I was this spiral of violet light coming down into this physical being. And then I enter to the crown. And immediately when I enter, I notice the bright of what we call the third eye. It was violet, pulsating, and everything I saw through this light was perfect. Like, the whole creation was perfect at last. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the need to change anything in the planet. Everybody right. was doing the experience they need to do. Everybody was doing exactly and perfectly what they need to do. And I was one with everything, and I was happy. And from the third eye, I felt like a drop of some pure, I don't know what, consciousness, I guess. This drop fell, and it fell approaching my heart chakra. And then I saw a huge ocean of white, like a sea of milk. I have no other way to describe that. And as I approached that, my lower mind tried to describe that event. And I remember yelling out loud, that's the kingdom. That was the only word I could say, the kingdom. And then I fell into that ocean, and I just lose myself in everything. All the things recovered its meaning. I understood alchemy. I understood everything I read in the past. I didn't have the knowledge. I was the knowledge at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at peace and ready to stay in that peace forever. And I remember a part of me didn't want to open the eyes. It was so much light, so much happiness that I want to stay with my eyes closed and just in that deep state.
Yeah.
But I realized I had to do it. I had to do it, but I think a part of me feared that I was going to lose the experience if I opened my eyes. But then I thought, I'm not going to stay like a blind person for the rest of my life. So I opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And when I stretched my hands, I noticed there was light around my hands. And that was the first time I saw an aura. And this green light around my whole body, that was amazing. And I stand up and look at myself in the mirror. I look literally like a Christmas tree.
It
was shining lights everywhere. And I was like, wow, what is this? And it was really amazing. That first night was really amazing. And for 4 days, I was in this state of consciousness. It was like God looking at the world through me, and I could easily felt the intentions, the thoughts, the emotions of people. I was everywhere just thinking about it, and not physically. It was like if I think about someone far away, I felt I was beside the person, and I could get all the information mm-hmm. I need to gather about that. It was not a location, but my consciousness could travel beyond my body. And I did so many amazing things. And for 4 days, I was in that state, not telling anybody anything. I was just living like a normal student, but inside of myself, there was something else. There was looking through.
When you did that, see, for me, when I was given an experience similar of being able to go into like a parallel reality or a different dimension, I was told, don't telegraph. Don't let others know that you are doing this because you will take yourself out of the experience. Just go with it and experience it and be yourself. But don't try to, the best thing I can say is clue anybody else in. Don't try to change what they're going through. Does that make sense to you?
Of course, there is no need to change anybody. I mean, you don't need to advise anybody. You don't need to do anything. Everything you do is a message. It's information. And we are all connected. So just the state of consciousness is impregnating the whole people around you. And I remember that I didn't talk about it. At night, for example, when I went to sleep, I just closed my eyes. And then when I opened my eyes in the morning, it was like collapsing time. There were no dreams during the night. It was like a complete collapse of time. And my body felt so relaxed, so rested, amazingly rested, like I was reborn every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was so, so amazing, the whole experience. And I knew it was going to last only 4 days for me. It was like a taste. Like letting me know what is coming for everybody.
Yeah.
And that was what these aliens anticipate, the fourth dimension of consciousness. And they want me to experience this so I can share this information. Because as I was having the experience, I didn't have the will to communicate this. I knew I had to lose the experience in order to share and to point at the path we are all going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was going to leave that state of consciousness, and it was a sad experience to lose that. But not really. I literally want to end my life like a month after the experience, because I didn't tolerate the way we live in here. But then I made more sense of all the scriptures and some of the messages of Jesus Christ. And I realized, no, I have to be here. I really have to be here. And 80 years living here is nothing compared
Absolutely. To... I mean, that's the time factor just goes out the door. When you experience these things, time just totally is, it doesn't exist anymore. It, at least for me, it's like, yeah, I understand the clock. I understand setting an appointment and having an interview and all that. But in the big scheme of things, we get such a little teeny tiny fraction to experience this life, this state of being in this moment, in this body, in this physicality, that it becomes, I think, much more fun and wonder-filled, because it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on here than we've ever begun to imagine. And when you're exposed to something like that, everything becomes the potential to have a miracle occur. It isn't something that's foreign. It's something that becomes natural. And that's why I really wanted to talk with you, because you make it real on so many levels in sharing your story. And right now there are so many messages out there that are counter and contrary and disinformation because of the level of the experiencer. But when you raise yourself up and you work to become more allowing and more loving and more generous in your own view of the world, then that's what you are given in these experiences, at least from my perspective. And Enrique, you have a great story. We are 3 minutes away from closing. Will you share your information about your book and about what people can do in their own preparation for something like this? Because that's what you say. Everybody's going to have it happen. So what can we do at this point?
Well, about my material, all of it is in Spanish. I'm so sorry. But I'm preparing a book in English that is probably going to be ready by the end of this year. And if that could mean something else, is the world is not going to end in 2012. We have way to go, and everything is going to be okay. We just need to flow with experiences. It's going to happen for all of us, and nobody is going to be exempt of it. The ones that are already preparing for it, like someone taking classes of swimming, and then suddenly all of us are going to be pushed into the pool. And the ones that are already being trained, they are the ones that are going to know how to float. And don't worry, the ones that are not studying swimming, because they are going to be helped by the ones that are already doing their work. So everything mm-hmm. is going to be okay. There is no reason to stress about it. And when it happens, it's going to be harmonious and beautiful. And it's going to happen for the whole humankind. This is the moment of blossoming, the moment in evolution where we are going to grow as one.
You know, everybody wants to know, so what day? What day? Is this going to happen? And my answer for that is it doesn't matter what day. But you have a better answer. What's your answer?
Asking for the day is still thinking in the timeline that is an illusion. So
Yay!
It doesn't matter, really.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. That's the important thing.
Thank you. Thank you. You are doing something that a lot of people are afraid to do. You're living right there on the edge, trusting and allowing and just being part of it without trying to control it. That doesn't mean you don't have your moments like when you describe that, wanting it to just stop and because everything here isn't up to par. That isn't uncommon. Once reality cracks, it's like, holy cow, let's get to the finish line quicker.
Thanks for the opportunity, Wendy. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Have a fabulous day. And if you're listening again, you can get in contact with Enrique Villanueva. And I'm trying to pull up the website real quick here. hypnosis.edu and just look up Google his name and you'll find him. You can find out more too from me here on Empower Radio. Thanks for listening. This is Conscious Living. We got some more great shows coming up, shows along this line and more about how you can expand your own consciousness and become more proactive and intentional in your manifesting abilities. It just takes the willingness to try. You can learn it. Thanks for listening.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Matthew, you know energy-saving light bulbs last 6 times longer than that old bulb in your lamp.
Yeah, well, I don't even live here.
Matthew, dinner's ready.
I never met that woman.
It's your favorite, Matt. Lasagna.
Don't you people knock?
Just give me the energy saver.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.